It's coming to be Easter. We're in the Easter season. I'm a little bit ahead of schedule, but that's okay. And this word was the story of Jesus right after Peter had denied Jesus. And it goes on in verse 36. It says, "Then Jesus came with them," the disciples, "to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came, Then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" And I just want to read one more scripture, very familiar scripture to us Pentecostals who are in Victory. But I want to remind us of this. I want you to hear it. And good preaching isn't telling you something new. It's telling what you already know and remind you that you need to be at it. That's what preaching is. So listen to the word today. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And here ends the reading of God's word. I want to speak to you very, just as quickly and pointedly as I can, about what God has been revealing and challenging me personally, and what I believe he's challenging the church in this hour. And I'm going to say it, I hope, a few times. You never know what I'm going to say. But I hope you hear in the hour. Because I want you to know today that there's a time and an hour in the Lord. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. It was an appointed time, and it was in the fullness of that time. And there's a story going on that only God knows about. There's a story going on in our lives, and there's an hour where we need to pay attention. And the first thing I want to speak about in this hour that I need to remind us, that it's a time we're in a battle. I want us to understand that today. If we miss the fact that we're in a battle, we've missed the whole thing that we've been born into. Since Satan fell from heaven, there's a battle. We were born into that battle. There was something that was stole in the garden and that separated us from God, and people are born into a state where there is a sinful nature that separates them from God. It trips us up. It falls. And we need to be redeemed. And the battle in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm, is the battle for that redemption that God has planned for each one of us. He's not willing that any should perish. And he works in us. And our life is carried out in the middle of this battle. And there's powers and principalities, the prince of this air, that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. I've spoke that many times, but church has been made alive who was once dead. See, there's a difference in it. If you look in the history books of each one of us, you'll find that we've fallen short of the mark of our high calling. Some of us as late as last night. But we're forgiven. Christ has brought us alive. But we were dead according, because we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of this air. And so there needs to be a time where we cross over through Jesus Christ into the life of victory and not walk that way anymore. There's a time of battle. The enemy keeps trying to trip us up. I want to remind us this morning of Colossians 2, 13 and 15. And I want to say it today because I don't think I preach enough on it, if you can put it up. Because we have victory in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, and he died on the cross, forgiving us, that we might have life and life more abundantly. And he has triumphed over it. And this is what I like. He's disarmed the powers and the principalities. He cuts their arms off and triumphs over them by making a public spectacle of them. And there's a funny thing about sin. Kind of likes to show it off, our falling shorts. Anybody been embarrassed by his actions in his life? Anybody been surprised at what an idiot you can be in a self-service lout? I remember one preacher saying he was at a track meet one time. He said, and there was a kid running a long distance race, and he was failing. He stopped, and his dad ran out and berated the child in front of the whole arena about he had no try. You're lazy. You got to do better. Come on. And then he realized that the man out there was him. And he was doing it as a pastor in front of the whole crowd. It's an amazing thing how far short we can fall in falling short from the Lord. There's a battle going on, and Jesus Christ is our victory. But we need to fight, and we need to stand. We need to wrestle, and that's an ongoing thing. There's no demilitarized zone. You know that? There's no place you can go where the battle isn't on. A home is to be a sanctuary. It's to be a place of rest and peace and restoration. Hoo-hoo. Your home look like that? Or is there a war going on in there? There's a battle to be fought, and you have to fight it in your home to stay in the heart of God. We're going to get to that in a bit. It's a nice community here. This isn't the inner city. This is a beautiful community, but there's a battle being fought on here. And it's being fought in our hearts and in our lives and in our relationships. And this is a beautiful church, and we're in the sanctuary. That must be a place where you can let your guard down. The enemy wouldn't dare come in here. Ho, 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 ho. There isn't a pastor worth his salt doesn't realize that this thing's a battlefield. It's a battlefield to God's will and purpose, and there's an enemy that comes to steal and to destroy and to distract us from that purpose, and we need to be alert and attempt, alert and tent. Now, I can't think of the word. We need to be alert and passionate and wary of the enemy's tactics. There's no time limit on the spiritual battle. Do you know that? I've learned that when you get to be 63 years old, temptation's still there. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. There's no time where we don't need to be alert and present and accounted for all the time, because the enemy comes to destroy and to distract and to disillusion. And if you allow that to happen in your life, you can go right down the road. There's a battle to be fought is my first point. In this hour, the battle is on. It's always been on, but the battle's on in this hour. And some of you are very aware of that's going on. It takes courage, and it takes power, it takes wrestling, and it takes work, because there is that battle. And the second thing I want to talk to you about in that battle is that the battle isn't out there. The battle's in here. I can't remember the quote. I just learned it this morning. In Olive Tree, a lot of the ministry is about addictions. And there's many conversations, several conversations each week about people who want to get rid of their addiction. And I don't know how many times I've heard them say, I got to get out of this town. There's nothing good here. I can't do it. It's a rotten town. I got to get out. I got to move. And I'm going, yeah, where are you going to move where the battle isn't? And the quote was, hold it. No matter where you go, there you are. Ooh. It's true. So the spiritual battle is fought everywhere, all the time. And where is it fought? Right here. And so many times we think that our ministry is kind of out there somewhere. It's like, well, I'm going to get up and I'm going to put my collar on and go out and I'm going to do some ministry in the streets or something like that. But the real battle is right here. I want to tell you something that the devil's afraid of. You know the devil is afraid? He's afraid of the church being the church. The church being alive, a church that's listening to God, and a church that's obeying the Lord. Because we are mighty and strong in Him. Lord, help the devil. No, don't help him. When the church gets right and gets its heart right, we are armed and dangerous, and it's time that we took our place. Amen? There's a fight to be fought. Oh, glory. Way it went. If you read the book of Ephesians, for example, you'll realize that just before he said that we are to wrestle with powers and principalities, what was Paul teaching the church? How to have the husbands love the wives as Christ loved the wives respect the husbands, slaves obey your masters. It's all about relationships and daily duty, and we forget all that. We forget that there's a spiritual battle in all of that. We just think that's something on the side. Whatever we do or whatever we treat our spouse with, well, that's what happens because we're on the earth. And then we come into church and we think, well, whatever, you know, I'm going to worship the Lord now. And many times we're defeated in those areas because we don't realize. We're to bring light and the heart of Jesus Christ wherever we go. That's what God's called us to do. In our homes, in our communities, in the church, wherever we go, we are to walk in the power of His might. That's the call. And we need to dedicate and be committed to that. A few personal notes, because I just want, there's 100 things we could say about this. But Olive Tree, for example, ministry that I'm involved in. I love the staff. They're the coolest people. I have so much respect for them all. I really do. I'm going to tell you one God story. Just because. Ruby, she would just kick me in the shin if she heard me talking about what she did. But don't tell her, Shelley. Don't tell her. She's a forceful woman. She's a woman that's really that started the food rescue thing. She's really the heartbeat and the push behind that. She's also got another thing that she's involved in called the caravan. The caravan ministry is a ministry that if you're an elderly person or infirm or something and you have to drive to Edmonton or Saskatoon or wherever else they send you to get your medical care, that if you haven't the means to go there or it's hard, you can take the caravan, and they would ask for $100 because it would help pay the bills. But if you can't pay, whatever. We'll try to do it. Guess who drives the caravan? People, volunteers. Most of them are Christians, not all, though. And this couple has been doing dialysis in Saskatoon for months. So three times a week, they drive down to Saskatoon and go through our health system and get dialysis for 6 hours. They're in the hospital and then come home, and they're wore out. And when they've come to the end, they phoned Ruby and asked Ruby, "Ruby, we can't do it anymore. Is there any way you can help us?" And she says, let me have a try. And I don't know what she did other than phone all the people, because she's got to find volunteers to take a couple for three times a week. And they're going to have dialysis in Lloyd to be able to do this, but it'll be a while, at least a month. So she's got to find somebody. And she says to me, it's an unusual day for Ruby to do this to me. She said, "Fred, you got to come over here. I got to tell you a story." And she told me this story, and she says, "I found the person." And she lifts her hand up. She's not a Pentecostal fruitcake, you know. We are. Sometimes, you know, praise the Lord, you know, glory. I stubbed my toe, praise the Lord. It takes quite a bit. She said, "I found someone. They're going to drive. They've committed to drive until they get this thing to Lloyd, them three times a week to Saskatoon. Now, what do you think about it?" I said, "That's 12 hours, Ruby." "Oh, it's just six." I said, "Well, you got to get there and back, and you got to park the van, and you got to clean it out. It's at least 12 hours. It might be more. That's a full-time job, according to our society, to take that family there. They're committing that for a month for nothing." Isn't that exciting? The light and the life. I just feel like the light has come into the darkness of that family and lit up their life, hey? Amen? But the battle isn't that. If you're a minister in that, the battle happens long time before that's out there. The battle happens in the home with your heart to get ready. See, some of you guys might be just inherently nice. There is some people like that, but I'm not one of them. I got to work on it. And you got to prepare yourself for the day and the challenges. I've also just gone on the Manitou Lake Bible Camp, this little closer to home board, because I don't know of anything that's impacted our kids in this area any more than Manitou Lake Bible Camp ministry. And I unashamedly stand before you and say we need to get behind that. And Seth's in it. He's in the battle. And I'm telling you, Seth gets that it's a battle. And he's got a family and four kids. And guess what? They're in the battle. And sometimes it gets hard. Dan and Wanda, other staff members, they're in the battle. And they got kids. And they're in the battle. And we need to pray for them. We need to intercede for them. We need to support them. Because I'll tell you what the devil will try to get them to do. Quit. Or if they don't quit, they'll sell out in such a way that I'm no longer passionately ministering in the name of Jesus, but I've now taken on a profession where I go through the motions and shake hands in a very glad way to everybody I meet and then go home and be miserable again. But there's a way more than involved in the spiritual battle of Manitou Lake Bible Camp than that. They need cabin leaders, workers. And guess what's happening? They're hard to find. Seth's got to find some 25 young people that love Jesus Christ and want to serve there and let that be known to other people. He's about five short right now in the boy department. And you know what the devil's doing the whole time in this spiritual battle? Cutting potential leaders off at the knees. But it doesn't matter if you have a beer tonight. It doesn't matter if you have two beers tonight. Go ahead. Everybody else does it. God will still love me. Next thing you know, they're drinking. Next thing you know, they're partying. And they're completely betraying every value that they know that they is a faith. Fullness issue for them between them and God. And then when they look on the website of MLBC and they're looking for a cabin leader, they go, well, that's not me anymore. And they stop. And guess what happens? The enemy pulls a curtain of darkness right over the whole thing. The battle goes everywhere. It's on all the time, every place, everywhere. There's no demilitarized zone. And we need to pray and do war. It's the hour to fight, church. Today, I am calling prophetically out into the church to ears that will hear that there is a fight, a war to be fought today. Never mind all the problems. Never mind all the effort. We need to fight that war today. In this hour, because this is the hour to fight. In this hour of church history, it's a time to pray. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has reminded me, Fred, it's nice that you can preach, but it's essential that you pray. I work through the prayers of my people. I work in your heart and I work in other people's hearts when I pray. Would you pray? I'm busy right now, Lord. I'm watching Happy Days and the curling bonspiel's on. You hear it? It's literally that bad for us, isn't it? It's the hour to pray because God is calling us. As I think I heard Aaron say, to do more. There's something out there. I'm going to get to that. It's Easter season. I read the scripture of Jesus going into the Garden of Gethsemane. Why did he go there? Well, he's a prayer guy. Like, that's what he does. He was about to go to the cross. Never done it. I can only suppose what would go through the heart of a person who's going to commit his way to the cross. But not just a cross, the cross that was foreordained by God that the sins of the world would be forgiven. Can you imagine that there's a spiritual battle going on there? Can you imagine that Jesus Christ, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, already felt the burden of the world's sin and the challenge to make a difference in obedience to God, his Father. And he went into the garden to pray. Oh, my Lord, it's too real. It has to be true. And guess who went with him? His disciples. Well, the chosen few of his disciples, and they fell asleep. Not once. Twice. I don't say that to bring condemnation on us. I'm saying that God has called us, even as he's called his son, to the mission that he called his son to. And I'll get to that again as well. We need to prepare ourselves to go to the cross, even as Jesus prepared himself to go to the cross. We have a crucible. I'll lay it up. Luke 9, 23 to 25, if you can put it up there. We're to go to the cross. Here it is, words of Jesus. You can read it as well as I can. If you desire to come after me, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. It's a crucible. It's about coming to a place where we crucify the flesh, where it's about obedience to God. It's about saying no to that and being all in. That's what it's about. And the Garden of Gethsemane is a place where Jesus fought that out for his cross. And when I talk about going to Gethsemane, that's a place where we need to go in prayer to fight out the same thing that Jesus fought in going to the cross. Philippians 3, 8 and 10. I just want to drive this home. See, we live in a culture, in a Western culture. You gotta understand, this is a tough thing to preach. Christianity is about happy days. No, it's about the mission that Jesus Christ has given us. Look at what Paul says about it. He talked about all of the things before, all the good things. I count them all lost. Doesn't matter. I just want to know Jesus Christ and that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. And then it goes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And we could jump and shout with that one. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Some of us tasted his resurrection power, glory. Kind of forget the other one all the time. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And there's something in a Christian, in the character of a Christian, needs to have fellowship with his sufferings. We share in his sufferings and conform, fit into his death. Galatians 2:20 says this. If you're a Christian today, this is true. If this is not true, you're not a Christian, I think. That's my logic. Paul says this: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In this hour in church history, I want to remind us we're in the battle, and I want to remind us that God has given us a mission and a crucible to live out. It's no patty cake game. We are called daily to crucify ourselves and follow him. There's an internal battle. We talked about that. It's in fought in here. And the devil will come to feed and to nurture our independence, our self-preservation. If you don't look after number one, who will? Well, there's a bit of somewheres in there, there's a bit of light. But it goes away for self-reliance, self-entitlement, rationalization. I want to tell you something. God's funny. It's dangerous, but he's funny. Two people. I'm writing this thing, and two people talk to me and tell me about what the prophets are saying on the internet, and they named them. I'll keep them out of it for the time being. And they're saying, excited as all get out because Jesus is coming back this year. Now, that's something to be, get your attention. September and October. We won't even have to do Christmas this year. Glory to God. And they're so excited. So we keep talking because they're friends. And so I'm talking to them, so what's up in your life? Well, we're headed to Mexico for 3 weeks right after this. And then we're going away on another journey in July for 4 weeks. And I'm going, Jesus Christ is coming back in six months, 180 days. And you're going to spend a third of them laying on the beach hugging sand? You can't be serious. We're almost at the finish line. This is the time to press in. If that's the hour we're in, let's get to work. Let's do. Man, you got to get moving. If we really believe that, church, and we have the heart of Jesus Christ in us, we should be on our faces, even as Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because every place I go and look, I see lost, broken, injured people who need Jesus desperately. And he's coming. They're going to miss the bus. That should get us big time. There's an internal battle for us to lay down our life. The third thing is the cross. Jesus fought the battle to be obedient that would bring victory on the cross in his prayer at Gethsemane. And he knew more than we do what it was to go to the cross. And I'll tell you a little bit about the cross. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't made out of gold. It didn't glimmer. It was rough and it hurt. There was suffering at the cross. There was ridicule. He was hung up naked publicly for all the world to see his nakedness. He was abandoned. He couldn't even find the presence of his heavenly Father for the first time, probably, in his life. There was the greatest sense, I'm alone in this. That's the cross. And somehow when Jesus Christ is telling us that we must deny ourselves and pick up our cross, he's calling us not to go to a physical cross, but he's calling us to go to those places of abandonment and suffering for his sake. We're called to that. The Western church may be the only church in all of the world that hasn't really got that. That they think this is about me feeling better and everything going well in our life. And so he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray for strength, because the spirit was willing, but the flesh is weak. Real Christianity is authentic, and it's not posing. I think we're all guilty. I'm just going to tar us all. You can kick me in the shins afterwards, but of posing, of acting like something we're not from time to time. Garden of Gethsemane is about really getting to where the work is. See, we're in the Lenten season, but if all as we give up is the delicacies of food, and if all as we commit to is going to church during the season, and that's all there is to, we haven't really done much. It's much deeper. And I think we heard that in the songs this morning. We're called to a humility and to a courage to be obedient in a very personal and yet public way to follow Jesus Christ. It's tough. It's tough. The church is one of God's given means for us to strengthen one another. I'm going off my notes, because there's lots of things I never said when I was your pastor. I said enough how proud I am of you people in struggling in your faith to live it out. And I know you haven't been perfect. I've even got pictures of some. But I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the young people. Cheryl still talks to me, by the way. And he always asks about you guys. And of course, some of you are talking to him. She doesn't ever tell me what you say. But I'm proud of you guys for living for Jesus Christ and fighting it out. Fighting your faith out. And I know that there's times where you stumble and you fall, but I'm so thankful that you're here. I miss Miles here today, Jay, because if there's anything I would like to do is tell Miles right now how much impact he has in the life of other kids. And I know it's hard. I don't know how hard it is, because I wasn't a Christian when I was Miles's age. But I'm so proud of him, and we need to help our young people to walk and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You two guys too. We need to be earnest about it, because the hour is calling us to fight, and the hour is calling us to do the mission of Jesus Christ. This hour in church history is calling us to do that. The cross is a tough place. It'll be a place of our greatest pain in life. You know that? It'll take us to our greatest fears. It'll probably bring us into a place of the greatest degradation and public nakedness. Do you know something? What makes preaching hard is it's public. When I preach, when Pastor Peter preached, you guys can all see us. You can see our weaknesses. You can see that where we stumble and we fall. And somehow we have to again and again come to that place and say, here I am, Lord, and let her rip. And that can only be done through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, not by works that any man should boast. He'll meet us in our character weakness. If we got a character weakness, the cross will bring that to the cross. Over and over again, there can be an area that we fall in, and we need to have God's grace and mercy, and we try, but we can't do it, and we have to lay it down. And there's something about that is so humbling, because I should be able to do this, but I can't. And it'll wrestle with you to do that. I'll just be blunt about it. Pornography is the number one for men in the church. We should be able to handle that. And so we wrestle with it because we all know that a real Christian could handle that. And yet it brings us to our knees, and we have to go again. It'll make us say the same words that Jesus said on the cross. You remember some of them? There's lots of them. I won't go through them all. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. It's a big crucible. Anybody been mistreated here? Don't raise your hand. Glory to God. We'll have an outbreak of praise or something. You can't walk this world where people don't mistreat you. Not a week. Most of the time, not a day. Goes by, somebody says something deliberately to hurt you. Sometimes it's the ones that you love. We got to release those to the Lord, because this isn't about me. It's about the mission. My God, why have you forsaken me? I think I can't, that'd make a sermon in of itself. But there's times in our life where we feel like God's so far away. We're all in this alone. Elijah experiences. Just tells old Jezebel to sit down, and or Jezebel's crew, doesn't tell Jezebel that, he's scared of her. Goes away, and it's only me, Lord. It's only me. I'm the only one. Feel abandoned. We feel like that sometimes. You know where the Garden of Gethsemane is? It's in our closet. The war room. You remember it? We got to go back to the war room. Maybe this time we'll not forget all of the battle that is not out there, but it's in here, because we got to get this right. It all flows out of here. It's the only thing we can change. I've learned that with addictions. Gosh, I'd like to just grab that snake that's wound in their hearts, around their neck, that they seem powerless to do. It feels good. I'm Pentecostal. Grab that thing and stomp on its head and jump on it. Glory to God. But there's something in the heart of that person that he's got to surrender and fill himself with. Or the snake comes back and he brings more with him. There's a bigger thing than that. I'm going to close. I am. I just want to say, without the crucifixion, there was no resurrection. If we really want to experience the resurrection power, we need to go through the crucible. I've learned that. The guys that who have not gone through the crucible, I don't know how to say it any other way, don't really know. But the ones who have and call on the Lord, they know something that brings a peace and a joy and a life that just holds you. I'm going to close. Three things. There should be an application. I'm going to try to find one out of that. I want you to know, remind you this morning, because I know you know it. We're in a battle. We've been born into a battlefield. It's always been here. But in this hour, there's a battle to be fought. We need to stand and be accounted for. Pray. Talk to the Lord about that. And ask him what he wants you to do with it. God has won a victory in our life. I want you to know that. He did it on the cross. And he empowers us. But to get to that place, we need to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane. In the war room. About our hearts and fit us for service. I'll just say it. There's guys here wrestling, and women. When I say guys, you're all in this. Guys and gals doesn't have the same punch. There's some people in this room that you rendered powerless because there's one issue and one problem. Can't get the victory over it. Can't get it. So you quit. And I'm telling you, don't quit. The kingdom of God needs you to be fully alive. And when you quit and don't wrestle with that thing anymore, you're defeated. And the light is put out. Clouds over. Wrestle and call some reinforcements. Call some people in who will stand with and wrestle this thing. We need to beat this thing. This is no time to withdraw. Fight it out. And the last thing I want to say is God has called the church to a mission of Jesus Christ. And I should have put it first. Maybe it'd make all sense, but I wanted to end on it. John 20:21, just leave it up for the duration if you can. Do you understand? Oh, I ran into an existentialist in the olive tree. I've never ran into one of those pure guys. They'll twist your mind. They don't feel pain. They don't have fear. There's no purposelessness. They have depression, but they don't care. It's just a nasty thing. We're not of the people who wander around this world with no purpose, if you're the church. God has called us to a mission. Jesus said to the disciples again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, you do whatever you want. I also send you." The same mission that God sent his son to do is the mission we are to be involved in. He sent his son to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And while we may not have to go to the cross, because guess what? My blood can't even pay my own debt. He has sent us to be like Jesus, who would give his life a ransom for many. That's to be our attitude. And we need to serve him. Same mission. He's equipped us the same way. You know that Jesus laid down his deity. So everything he received, baptism of the Holy Spirit, authority and power that was given to Jesus, he's now given that to the church. We've got the same equipment. Glory. Same battle. It's the same enemy, nothing new with him. We can handle him. Greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. But the challenge is the same, to obey in the Father. It's so much bigger than what we can do of ourselves that we need to go into the prayer room and have a talk with God and get our hearts purified, cleansed, listen to him and obey him. And set our hearts to follow him. And that's what we need to do. I think that's probably said about 3,000 times in a Christian's life. Go and pray. Yeah, I've done that. Well, you did, and then you quit. Or you didn't want it bad enough. But in this hour, God is calling us to pray and to live for him. God is at work everywhere. Do you know that? He is. I think Olive Tree for me has been one of the most encouraging things I've seen, because it's not church. Half the time they don't even know what's going on. But God's at work in the midst. You want to see some of the stuff. It's just hilarious that happens. It's happening in our life too. Not everybody's a preacher. Praise the Lord. But if Jesus lives in your heart, You need to be lit up for Jesus in this hour and revealing your son, his son, in your life. I'm closing off. It's a pet thing, Manitou Lake Bible Camp. There's way more ministries than that. Moose Lake Bible Camp needs our participation and our forces just as much as Manitou Lake Bible Camp. But it's right over there, and I know that Denise is going to herd up a crew there. I want to tell you that putting food on in front of kids is not only important, it's a mission. You guys don't know what joy it is for a kid to come into a place that's filled with laughter and food, baking. Whew. Have you guys forgot what it was like to come home from school and smell fresh bread? It won't get you to heaven. It won't get you right with God. But it'll sure lift your head. It'll sure remind you that there's love and care and goodness in the world. And Romans 2:4, I haven't got that one up, reminds us that God's goodness and kindness leads us to a change of life. And it's a spiritual battle. And the word that the cook says, I'm going to pick on Denise, when somebody comes as a leader or something and is beat up and she says an encouraging word, is a scale tipper many times that you don't even know it. Do you know what it's like to be around people that are enthusiastic and happy? And it's contagious. Jesus is our joy giver, and we need to have that over and over again. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We need to go in the prayer room until we come out with joy. Don't leave until you come out with joy. And let's do it for the Lord each and every day. If you see somebody today that's downhearted and don't preach at them, bring some life to them. You might need to preach at them if that'll do it. Bring some life to them. Lift them up. In this community, I know that there's people that are sick to the point that doctors are starting to give them numbers of how long they got to live. There's those kinds of issues going on around us, and there's a battle on for them, and the hour is now. We need to do that. Let's pray. Come on up, and yeah, I could direct you to some songs, but I think I'll leave you to do what's best. You know what's best. I'm not going to ask for. The only thing that concerns me today is if there's somebody here today that has alienated themselves from God, doesn't feel like they belong and fit, and they've wanted to be in the kingdom. They want to know Jesus, want things right between them and God and go on. Now's the hour. Don't leave without. And coming to the altar isn't the requirement to gain heaven. But you know, sometimes we hold back. And the beauty of an altar invitation to me is you're moving. You're no longer sitting. You're moving. And it's an indication, just like a baptism. I want in. I'm here, Lord, and I'm calling on you. If there's anybody here today that's on the outside, I just encourage you to come. Just come and stand, and there's going to be some people that'll pray with you, and they'll pray for you. And we're excited that you want to make that commitment. Do it here. It's before you go out there. Will you stand? And I'm just going to close in prayer and then let you guys go. Father, that was a hard message today. I break any imagination or distortion of the enemy that would come to bring guilt and condemnation on us. Because this isn't about us not being good enough or able or strong enough or anything like that. This is about us, Father, being awakened and quickened to the battle. And we want to be present and accounted for in your army. I thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ that flows for forgiveness. And if there's a child of God here today that's blowing it and he's feeling guilt and condemnation, God, I ask and invite your ministry even now to be able to see the gift of God that flowed at Calvary and for the forgiveness and the washing and the cleansing that comes from your throne, Lord. And I just pray that you would stir in us a passion again to fight. If there's any weary and well-doing, if there's any beat and wounded, Father God, I pray that there would be a stirring in our spirit of the passion of Jesus Christ. God, stir up the gifts that are within us. Help us to go out and see where you're at work, and help us to be faithful in what you've called us to do and be in our home, in our community, in this church, to ourselves, Lord, even. Help us to minister to ourselves. And Lord, I pray in our homes they truly would become a place to meet with you. They'd be gardens of Gethsemane where we would come and we would prepare ourselves for battle each and every day. And that, Father, I thank you that you're faithful. You're with us. And if you're with us, who can stand against us? We worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen.